snaps. The quarterback, Christian Ponder, out of the game. Two receivers left and right. Empty backfield. Webb takes the snap. He'll sprint again to the right side to the 35-40, and there he goes. Joe Webb is loose inside the 40 to the 30, 20-10, and he'll walk into the end zone for a Minnesota Vikings touchdown. It's a 65-yard touchdown run by Joe Webb.
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening and welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen from the Sports Authority studios with head coach Leslie Frazier, whose interview on this radio show is provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. The Vikings and the New Orleans Saints take off this weekend at noon on the Vikings Radio Network. And the New Orleans Saints, Leslie, have kind of played it out now through 13 games, 10-3, but markedly better at home than on the road. I don't have the number in front of me, but I think the Saints are plus 100 and change points differential at home. Now, granted, there's a 62-7 in there, but they're minus 9 points differential on the road with losses at Tampa and at St. Louis. Do you see that?
Yeah, no question. They have been a different team on the road, and we have to take advantage of that with our fans and, of course, our play on the field. And the fact that they have struggled, and even last week against Tennessee had a chance to win the game on the final drive and just couldn't get it in the end zone. So they really had some struggles on the road, and we got to figure out a way to take advantage.
Speaking of Tennessee, the quarterback that went right ahead of Christian Ponder at pick A, Jake Locker, you got a chance to see him on film last week against New Orleans. What did he look like?
He looked pretty good. He was able to move around in the pocket, make some plays with his leg, much like our quarterback, and threw some good balls, and there were some other balls I'm sure he'd like to have back. A lot of similarities as I watched their game.
Held the ball a little too long at the end when Jolon Dunbar, but you've seen that with Christian where you saw Cam Newton there. It was a pretty good draft last year for quarterbacks. I know Blaine Gabbert's had his struggles, but you look at your guy from North Carolina, T.J. Yates, for the Houston Texans, winning the division.
I know. So it was a good year for quarterbacks last season. I think we got the right one. We have a young quarterback who is going to continue to get better as he gains more experience.
Hey, with the New Orleans Saints, how can you win the game? I mean, not the moral victory, not the, that was great, we almost won this one, we almost did this one, great comeback here. How can you win the game?
We got to do a good job, Paul, of ball security. We don't want to give them short fields by turning the ball over. We got to do a great job of covering kicks when Darren Sproles is back there returning punts and kickoffs. And defensively, we got to find a way to eliminate the explosive plays in the pass game and get some turnovers, put our offense on a short field. That's going to be important, along with making that quarterback uncomfortable as much as we can.
And with the coverage teams, Jamarcus Sanford's doing the very best he can from the safety spot. When he was taken in the seventh round, I don't know if it was to be a safety that plays 53 plays a game. And I know what you think of him on coverage teams and special teams, where he's legitimately upper echelon in the NFL. That situation with the injuries on the back end, the trickle-down effect of the special teams, that's starting to show a little bit, isn't it?
No doubt about it. Your defensive players are the guys that you really count on special teams, and now we're into our depth some, and particularly in the secondary, so you're having to play guys extended reps on defense who ordinarily their reps would have come on special teams, and it affects things, no question about it.
What's Cedric Griffin's role this weekend?
He'll be a guy that we'll find a way to utilize at some point in the course of the game. We're going to start Bennett Sapp and Asher Allen at corner, but there'll be opportunities maybe for Cedric to get in the game.
Cedric's lost his confidence, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's not playing with the same confidence that he had prior to that surgery. Now, I understand that. I know how tough that is coming back from a second ACL injury, and he's a guy who we know can make plays for us, and he just needs a little more time.
When he was taken in 06 out of Texas, you had him on one side eventually when you got here and Antoine on the other. Yeah, I mean, those guys were upper echelon run-stopping cornerbacks, and then you got the kickoff in the NFC title game, and then the knee next year maybe doesn't run like he used to, but, from being a former defensive back, if you lose your confidence – in that part of the game,
right,
they're going to go right at you every single play.
No doubt, and that's what was happening. And it's so, so important that that cornerback position that you play with confidence. Even though you may not be the player that you were before, if you believe that you can make certain plays, you'll find a way to get it done, especially with experience.
Yeah, that's why I think it's fair to praise Benny Sapp right now. And you know what? Benny's not an upper echelon cornerback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, some people may say he's just a guy off the street or whatever, and he wasn't in shape when he got here, and you could kind of see it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But he's in better shape now, and you could tell in that Detroit game, specifically with how physical he got at the line and a couple of plays against Titus Young, who's very fast, Benny really cares, and he has that fire that you need no matter if you're 2-11 or 11-2. Don't you see it?
No question about it. His passion and his desire to succeed is contagious with our players. I mean, he's really ramped up the intensity level for our defensive backs and our defense in general, and I'm glad that we have him. He plays extremely hard every single snap, and you know he's one of those guys who gives you everything he has.
Do you think he'll be back next year, or is it too early to say?
Probably a little too early to say, but you know I like having him around for the intangibles that he brings to your football team, and you need guys like Benny who are passionate about playing pro football, no matter what the score is, no matter what the record is. He just loves to play the game.
Miss Trail Raymond is getting a fair amount of run now because of the injuries. What are you saying?
I think he's really coming along. He's playing with a little bit more confidence now. He's becoming more aware of some of the things that are going on around him, becoming a little bit more sure of himself, which lets me know that he has a chance to eventually be a guy who will get more time.
What are three things that make Drew Brees an upper echelon quarterback in the NFL?
I think his mental toughness really sets him apart from a lot of other quarterbacks. The way he handles third down situations, two minutes, the way he handles things in the fourth quarter, putting his team in a position to win. And then the poise that he shows in the pocket. You know, you can bring pressure, you can play zone. I mean, he handles those things. He does a great job of moving in the pocket. Doesn't take a lot of sacks. And then his accuracy.
Yeah.
It's off the charts. I mean, he does not miss very many receivers. So if you get open, he's going to find a spot.
What do you remember about the 2009 NFC title game, the one in January of 2010 into the 09 season?
Oh, just the pain of walking off that field without a L after I thought we were so close to getting to get without a W. So
how about Greenway and Pierre Thomas atop that pile when Greenway made Pierre Thomas fumble and they didn't call it?
Yeah, I know. And that was you know, one of the many things in that game that that frustrated you on that night, just a tough night.
Place was shaking. Could you feel it on the field?
Yeah. I mean, their fans were into it. It was a loud place, and I mean, they got the W and ended up going on to win the Super Bowl.
You're never going to win a game minus six, correct? Like the Detroit Lions game. I mean, before the ball was poked away at the end, you were minus five. There might be two teams in the history of the NFL at minus five in the takeaway giveaway who have won football games, and yet there you were, 2.5 feet away, minus five. I've never seen anything like it.
I know. You know, we're just a yard away from getting the win and you know, a mirror in a lot of ways of our season. You know, we've been so close and haven't been able to get over the hump. But the fact that the guys are fighting the way they're fighting and not giving up and believing that they have a chance to win, that encourages you. And we just, you know, we got another game this Sunday. We got to figure out a way to get a win.
Joe probably should have thrown a fade to Kyle Rudolph for an incomplete or a touchdown and lived to play another down. But how can you be mad at Joe after what he did?
No, Joe was a major reason we were right back in that game. He really provided a spark for our team, for our offense. So, you know, young quarterback at the position, got caught up. He's a playmaker. You know, he saw himself, okay?
Yep.
I got a chance to make a play, and unfortunately it didn't work out.
96 hours or whatever it is removed from it now. Why did you pull Christian Ponder for those who may have missed it?
You know, just seeing him move around that last interception that he threw coming out of the half, just felt like it wasn't the Christian that we are accustomed to seeing. You know, ordinarily, I think he would have tried to scramble and get out of trouble in that situation rather than throw the ball across his body.
Yep.
And that indicated to me that he wasn't mentally or physically where he needed to be.
Leslie Frazier, Vikings Live at Winter Park. What's your level of confidence Christian Ponder absolutely is a franchise quarterback?
Well, for us, I mean, he does the things that we're looking for. And, you know, I know we're going through some growing pains right now with the turnovers, but that's not unlike a lot of rookie quarterbacks who've been in his shoes. But he does a lot of good things to tell you. He has the arm strength, the mobility, the accuracy, and the toughness to not only be a solid starter, but a guy who has a chance to lead a team to long-term success.
I know it didn't work out for Donovan McNabb here this year, but correct me if I'm wrong. You were in Philadelphia when he was a rookie out of Syracuse, correct?
Yes, I was.
Do you remember some things? Because Donovan, you know, whether you like him or not, ended up going to a bunch of Pro Bowls, NFC title games, and the Super Bowl. And, you know, he put some pretty good things on tape over the years. What do you remember about Donovan early in his career where you looked at it and you're like, okay, this is happening now, but X amount of years later you didn't see it anymore?
Yeah, you know, some of the same mistakes that we're seeing now in our young quarterback, not necessarily, you know, recognizing coverages right away, maybe holding on the ball a little bit too long, you know, throwing the ball a little late at times. Some of the same things that we're experiencing. And a year later, as we put better parts around him, he was so much better as a quarterback and eventually, as you mentioned, became a Pro Bowl quarterback. And, you know, I envision the same thing happening with our young quarterback, with Christian.
When Adrian gets to Mall of America Field Sunday, how fired up is he going to be?
Oh, man, he's going to be so excited to get back on the field playing again. And that, of course, will pump up our team as well.
Hey, he's 165 yards from that Vikings record, too. I'm not going to ask you to make a prediction, but if he stays healthy, he'll get it before the year's over. Shoot, we have three games to go. All he'd have to do is do part of his average to get that. But this could be a really big Adrian Peterson game with how fired up he is and, you know, the offensive lineman blocking for him and everything. Don't you agree?
No question. I mean, he's more than capable of getting 165 yards in the game. I don't know if he will, but if he does, that's probably good for our football team.
Jared Allen, 17 and a half sacks. How is he doing it? I mean, I watched some film earlier with you today for Vikings game plan this Sunday on KR 11, and you showed me a play where Jeff Backus and Brandon Pettigrew had four hands on Jared, and he still found a way to get there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he's been facing, you know, as he's gone through this streak of getting sacks where people are double-teaming him, they're chipping him, and we're going to see it again this Sunday. But his effort and his tenacity, I mean, he's not going to be denied. He's going to find a way to get to that quarterback, evidenced by the 17.5 sacks.
As a head coach, Leslie, what are some things that you have learned this year that you think will help you next year?
Well,
been a lot of damage control this year, unfortunately.
Yeah. Just the perseverance that's necessary to survive in this position and make it in this position, and the requirements for being a good leader, even in adverse times. You know, I'm believing that things are going to be better as we go forward, and some of the things that have happened this season will be a stepping stone to some of the good things that will happen in the future.
Do you expect, if everything adds up contractually and physically, Antoine Winfield will be a starting cornerback for you next year?
Well, you know, we love to have Antoine back. He's a tremendous player, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see as we evaluate our roster in the offseason.
He's a year older and clearly suffered a season-ending injury, but he was playing really well before he got hurt.
He was. It's unfortunate that we only had him for a limited number of games this season because he was really playing well, and, you know, it's just unfortunate.
You'll start getting the Antoine Winfield to safety conversation probably around the combine from fans and media and stuff like that. If it is deemed that he does have reps left in his legs, do you think that he would be a good safety at the end of his career, or is he strictly a cornerback?
No, it's possible. I mean, we've actually hinted at that a few different times, so you never know. But we'll have to sit down and evaluate it when our season is over.
Leslie Frazier, Paul Allen, a couple of quickies to go here. Is there a side of you, Leslie, that wants the season to end just so you can start over? I mean, no hard feelings for anybody involved here. But, you know, just get through these games, try to win them, and get as many wins as you can. But just how badly do you want to start over?
You know, I really want to utilize these games that we have, Paul, to get our key players some experience, in particular our quarterback and some other players that we want to take a look at as well, and continue to try to play better each one of these 3 weeks that we have left. So really not looking forward to our season ending. I know it's been a tough season for our fans, for myself and others, but there are still some things that we can learn from this season that I believe will help us in the future.
Despite the ball that was slightly tipped down by the goal line with Devin Aromashadu, hitting between the 1 and the 9, so he probably needed to bring that in. But over the last couple of games, have you noticed that Devin has jumped up a little bit and his route running seems to have gotten better and he seems to be more of a legitimate threat? Is that accurate?
It is. He's beginning to play with a little more urgency, which is what we needed out of him. He's a guy we're counting on to be a deep play threat for us, and he's really shown up and making some plays down the field and even getting some yards after the catch.
Thank you. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen, and interview with quarterbacks coach Craig Johnson coming up next, where we talk extensively about the future of the franchise, Christian Ponder. From the Sports Authority studios, this is Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. Paul Allen, happy to be joined by Minnesota Vikings quarterbacks coach Craig Johnson. Happy holiday season, my friend.
Same to you, Paul.
The 2-11, how are you handling it?
Very difficult. First time in my career I've had something along these lines. An experience I never want to go through again, but it's something that I'll learn from and we'll get better.
With your stable, it started with McNabb, Christian, and Joe Webb. Now it's Christian Ponder, Joe Webb, and Sage Rosenfels. Anything different with the record the way it is now when it comes to watching film, practice, motivating, anything different?
I think I've approached it the exact same way, Paul, I did in the early, which is we're going to try to go out, put our team in the best position to win the game. You don't ever get too down or too up on your circumstances. And so whether or not we were in contention for a playoff spot or as we are right now, playing to try to continue to win every game, that's what we're going to do.
With your rookie, Christian Ponder, him not receiving a majority of the reps last week in practice, Joe gets pretty much all of them. Correct me if I'm wrong anywhere here. Wednesday, Thursday, most of them on Friday. I saw all you guys on the field at Ford Field. Jeez, man, a good 2.5-3 hours before the game. You, Eric Sugarman, Leslie Frazier, Bill Musgrave, all working out. Christian, how much did that affect his play, being a rookie, not getting those repetitions during practice?
Well, in my room, there's a motto that goes, there's no excuses and no explanations. So if you're healthy enough to get on the field, you got to be ready to play. We're going to go out there and work out Christian through the process to find out if he's able to do it. We felt like he was going to give it a go, and he did. And obviously, you'd like to have better results. But as a young player, you are never going to feel healthy totally, except for the very first day of camp. So this, in his process, is I'm not 100%. How can I adjust my technique and adjust my timing to make sure I can play at a high level? It's something that every quarterback needs to go through. This was his opportunity, and he'll learn from the experience.
When you guys were watching Christian on the field at Ford Field, what are some things you look for? I mean, because I have an untrained eye, but I watched pretty much every second of it through my binoculars. I got there early purposely to watch that. And it seemed to me, again, from afar, when he would get out to the right, he was okay. Then you would bootleg him to the left a little bit. And he was a little slower to go that way, but then when he threw the ball across the body to Eric Wright, he was running out to the right. Did you see that, and what are some things that you're looking for?
Well, I think the biggest thing is for any player that's trying to work out, and I've had a number of players before that have gone through this process, the first thing you want to make sure is they can protect themselves and get out of the way. Mm-hmm. In simple terms, if there's a pass rush on him, can he escape it? Is he immobile? Can he protect himself as a pass rush comes? Because the pass rush is not slowing down. They don't feel bad for him. So you're going to look for that. And then the second thing you're going to look for, does he have balance at the top of his drop? Yeah. Is he able to throw with balance, or is he hopping around on one ankle or leg or whatever it may be? And does he have the quickness and the suddenness, as we call it, to be able to make plays? And again, you're not looking for 100%, but is it good enough to try to go out and win the game with? And obviously we felt that decision was going to be a good one, and it's an experience that Christian needs to go through.
Who has final say? Does that come down to Leslie or the certified athletic trainer, Eric Sugarman? Have you ever encountered a situation where you have four or five of you there and one of them's like, yeah, I'm not sure? Then you're like, what do you mean? Didn't you just watch that? He looks great. Then the other guy's like, well, I'm kind of in the middle.
Everybody's kind of consulted a little bit, but I would think the head coach would always tell you he's got the final say who's on the field at any position all the time. And so he's going to consult with Shug, and he's going to ask Bill, obviously, who's had a lot of quarterback experience like myself. Both of us have kind of been through this rodeo before.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is he's going to make the decision if he thinks it's good enough, and he'll listen to counsel. But we all felt like this is an experience he needed to go through. It was important. It's really important as a development. Again, as I've said, all young quarterbacks are not going to feel 100%, and we got to find out what you can do if you're able to play.
Craig, analyze the positives that you've seen from Christian Ponder with all of his starts. What are some positives you've seen? I guess, you know, I'd like to say before the hit pointer, but he gets the hit pointer in the first quarter of the Broncos game, almost goes for 400 out of it, yet, you know, then he gets pulled in the Lions game. So just in a microcosm of a couple of weeks, you've seen really, really good, but then again, really, really bad.
And you know what? That's what happens with rookie quarterbacks. They kind of go on a roller coaster. Most do throughout their rookie season. They're going to really say, I have this mastered, and I feel pretty good. And then the next week, you kind of get knocked around a little bit and say, ugh. But that is the process, and that's how you learn. The only way to really learn is to get on the field, Paul, and make it happen. And so I think some of the positives that you've seen from Christian, I think he gets the ball out fast. There's no question about it. I think that he has a good feel what the defenses are doing, and I think he's able to extend the play. That's what the kind of thing that a lot of guys want to have right now. The things that he needs to do a better job of as any quarterback, you have to take care of the football. As you're learning and as you, I can try this. This might work, but you know, maybe I'm a little too aggressive on a certain coverage or a certain throw into zone or man. Maybe I'm not quite ready for that throw yet. Let me maybe hold off on that and not try to force the ball and take your checkdowns. That's part of the process, and that's something he's got to go through and learn from, because you got to be able to protect the ball to help your team win. However, there's a fine line on that about never taking risks, because you have to have some risk reward.
Well explained. Craig Johnson, quarterbacks coach for the Minnesota Vikings, at noon this weekend, the Vikings and the Saints on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Who are some quarterbacks with whom you've worked? Just top of the head for me, I know Steve McNair, Neil O'Donnell, Kerry Collins. Who else?
Well, the other one that people may not know as well is Billy Volek, who's still playing in the league. He's backup for the San Diego Chargers. He's played for quite a bit. Those are the ones that most people would know that I've been through, obviously, besides Vince Young, mm-hmm. who's had a little bit of success. And so I've been blessed to kind of have lots of different guys. They all have their different styles. And people ask, who do you compare them to? I'm not really so much into that.
Yeah.
I just know that for every quarterback, you're at your own level, you're at your own pace, and the bottom line is I want, because I have no patience, I want him to be at a superstar level right now, but I also understand it is his first year in the league,
yeah.
and he is probably not going to play at a level like probably the guy we're playing against this weekend.
Yeah, Drew Brees. Now, with Christian, you know, you've seen some curious picks in the Oakland game, but then he goes to Atlanta. He's really efficient. I think he was 68% in that game, you know, which is his best completion percentage of the season. Obviously, we can go all the way back to Green Bay, where he gave you a chance to win in that game. Foul Michael Jenkins on Charles Woodson in a big spot at the end of the game. Then we have Mario Hagan. Then we have Andre Goodman at the end of that game. You know, yet he almost goes for 400. So is it really fair just to look at it and say, rookie quarterback, you're going to have big-time highs, but you're also going to have some big-time lows?
I think that's a part of the process for all new players, rookie quarterbacks or not. Put yourself in the best situation, Paul, is you want to make sure you go out there and you don't be the reason that your team didn't win the game. So that's what he's got to learn. He is so athletic and can make so many plays.
Yeah.
You just got to learn to trust the system, trust your team, and if the play's not there, throw the check down and move on. A punt is not a bad thing,
yeah.
and just learn that, and that's part of the process. And again, there's a fine line as a quarterback and as a philosophy about never taking risk, because then the ability in this game is you want to be able to score points. So there's a fine line there. Every quarterback goes through a different process on how to do that. Some have instant success. Some guys that have had really early success have not done so well.
Yeah.
I know some that have started a little slower and have had great careers. So everybody is on a little bit different plane. But I just know, having been through it for 22 years now, everybody is in a different spot. And I think Christian's coming along. The bottom line is, I have to say, even to myself, just remember, have a little patience. It is a process, and I'm not looking for him to be a finished product this year,
yeah.
but I think in the years to come, I think everybody will be very pleased with where he's going.
I'm not
going
to ask you to compare him to anybody, because you said you don't like to do that, but you mentioned style. When you know, say you have some different situations protection-wise in front of him, you get faster guys on the outside. That's why you have the draft and free agency to take good and make it better. If you have exactly what you want around him, what will his style be?
Well, I don't know if I can paint an exact picture, but I would say this. What I've seen before is a quarterback who can make every throw, who can get out of trouble and extend the plays, and who can run every kind of offense that you're looking for, because he is early in and laid out, and he wants so badly to be a championship caliber quarterback. So I think that the guy is very versatile, and he can extend the play, and I keep mentioning that, but that's what a lot of guys want to have in their quarterback now. Yeah. The guy that's able to throw a little bit off rhythm, off target, and still be able to make explosion plays down the field. That's what's hurt the defenses, because the defenses are very challenging at this time, as he's finding out.
And you know, one thing interesting about Christian, and again, it goes with the ups and downs, is Percy Harvin, over, let's say, a month and change, maybe five, six, seven games, statistically has been as good as any receiver in the entire National Football League. The wins aren't there, but all of a sudden Percy's productivity has really jumped up with Christian.
No question about it. And obviously they've got some good chemistry going right there. And I've always thought that Percy has a good future as a receiver. We've been able to get him the ball, and that's always a nice security blanket for a quarterback to find that guy. And so I got to remember that we are doing a lot of good things, but the bottom line is we got to find a way to do it better to get W's.
Hey, when Joe Webb runs for more than 100, including a 65-yard score, who gets credit, the quarterback's coach or the running back's coach?
Well, since he plays at my position, I'm not giving James Saxon any credit on that one. But that has nothing to do with coaching. He did a great job as far as going through his progressions, which was a key for Joe, for a younger guy, again, like Christian, in there, going through his progressions. They took away all of his possibility to throw the ball to, and now, this, as he said, the Red Sea opened up and he just took it. And so that's obviously something that Joe is very good at, and he's comfortable with doing that.
Craig, tell me if you've noticed this throughout your 2 decades plus in the NFL, and I know Christian's playing this weekend, but if Joe had played this weekend, what would have been interesting, if he had started, what would have been interesting to see against the Saints is so many times you see a replacement quarterback come in a game, and he catches the defense off guard. I mean, Detroit was flat-footed against Joe, had no idea what to do. Then they go to that three-man rush. That kind of neutralized Cliff Averill, who was having a nice day. But Joe was still able to make some plays. And then the next game, things usually even out a little bit for that backup. Is that fair?
Yes, very fair, because this is the NFL, and they make adjustments very fast in this league. So, obviously, as I told Joe, he's got to pick up his game and not be one-dimensional and be able to throw the ball effectively, and that's something I think that's going to come in the process as he goes through. But this league is very good, and you're exactly right. Once they kind of get a little book on you, they're going to find out your strengths and weaknesses, and that's something he's going to have to work his way through too.
How does Sage Rosenfels fit into the mix?
I think Sage has been tremendous for our room, like Donovan was before. Sage, as a savvy veteran, gets it. He's been there. I've always said before, it's always better from the quarterbacks to listen to a veteran who has been through it. That is, to me, as key as all your coaching, because this is a guy that's been right there. And so I think that's always good for your room. He's always given suggestions, little pointers, little tips, and that is something that's happened for a lot of the quarterbacks I've had. They've had that young guy that takes them aside and says, look for this, watch for this, and that's always helped.
And there has to be a buy-in factor from that guy's standpoint. I mean, I guess Sage is at a stage of his career where, hey, if I get a chance to play, great. But I remember in 2009 when we almost went to the Super Bowl, Brett Favre would come over to the sidelines. Brett had his idea. Brad Childress and Darrell Bevell had their ideas, but Sage got both sides of it. So he'd be right in the middle, and he was just really, really good at getting the starter squared away between series. Have you had time to notice that about him?
Well, I'll be honest, I haven't noticed it as much. I know he's doing this, but because I'm upstairs, I don't have my eyes trained right on how Sage is interacting with the other quarterbacks. I know he's doing that, but a lot of times between series, we're going through and getting the stats from what the defenses are doing. So I know at the end, listening in the quarterback meetings, that he's been very good down there in the sidelines. But obvious, and he's also just another voice for Bill as he's going down there and talking with the quarterbacks also.
So in closing, when you're back next year, if it were the same three you had now, would you be happy with that?
I think that we have a very bright future. I think if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, you like our us are probably disappointed in exactly what's happening in the present. But for the future, you've got a quarterback who has shown no question that he's being able to stretch the field and make big plays. You also have a backup who's come in and played big when he's had the opportunity. So I think for the future, I think the future is going to be very bright for the Minnesota Vikings.
That was great. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Craig Johnson, quarterbacks coach for the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. We thank Craig Johnson and Leslie Frazier for joining us, and we remind you, with wall-to-wall sports and award-winning wings, Buffalo Wild Wings is the only place to watch the game when you're not at the game. Just one more reason why Buffalo Wild Wings is the home of tailgating. Wings, beer, sports. We're happy to be joined now by Minnesota Vikings running back Toby Gerhart. Toby, welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yep, no problem. Good job with Adrian out. What'd you think?
It was fun. You know, it's a chance to play, a chance to show what I could do, and tried to make the most of it.
What'd you enjoy most? Running over people, running around people, making that sneaky little move at the line of scrimmage, catching the ball? What'd you like?
I think I liked it all. You know, I was trying to show that I can do a little bit of everything, whether it be breaking a tackle, making someone miss in the backfield, catching my first touchdown pass from Joe Webb, his first, career touchdown pass. And, just doing a little bit of everything, just playing consistent and playing throughout a whole game.
No wins, though. Very frustrating.
It is. That's the most frustrating part about it. You know, it's kind of bittersweet. It was, sweet in a sense that I got a chance to play and, played pretty well, but bitter in the sense that we didn't win.
You know, and you coming from Stanford, where you had a lot of success there, I find myself occasionally thinking about you and maybe Christian Ponder, who played at Florida State. And, it wasn't a BCS title type team, but still did pretty well for Jimbo Fisher there. And, for you, man, it's 6-10. Right now it's 2-11, 6-10 last year. That did you ever just kind of sit back and wonder, this has to get better, doesn't it? I mean, you've never seen anything like this in your life.
It does have to get better. I actually have experienced something like this. My freshman year at Stanford, we were 1-11.
Wow.
Yeah,
who'd you beat?
We beat Washington. That was our only win, and so I don't think we're supposed to win that game. So, I've been there before, and it's tough. You know, as a player, it's a grind, and you just got to put in the work and continue to get better, and, we will get better, and we will put wins on the board, and, everybody's just got to have faith and believe in us.
What are your expectations for this weekend with Adrian's return?
Personally, I think Adrian's going to – do great. It's his first chance back. He's going to go after it and play. He's going to make up for that lost time. And, for me, hopefully they continue to use me in the offense. We'll see what happens. And, hopefully we get a win.
How's your pass protection and your blitz pickup been with more opportunity?
It's gone pretty well. I haven't, really missed a guy or missed an assignment. There's times where I could have been more stout and held my ground a little better and given Christian a little more time or Joe Webb a little more time. But for the most part, it's been okay.
Would you ever be interested in playing fullback in the NFL?
Would I be interested?
Yeah. If it meant playing,
Definitely. This is the game I love. Football is the game I love, and I want to play as long as possible. And hopefully I'll get a chance to play running back for a few more years. But if they say, we need you to play fullback in order to keep playing in the NFL, then, I'll have to make that transition.
Physically speaking, if that ever happened, what would you have to do differently? Because you're already big up top. I mean, would you have to get bigger? What would you have to do?
I think you'd have to adapt a mentality a little bit. As a fullback, you got to, basically run into a wall all day long, and you got to embrace that and, be more of a hard-nosed type of guy. I feel like I am that way, but to do it on a consistent basis when you're not, actually carrying the rock is a little bit different of a mindset, and I'd have to adjust that way.
Your alma mater, Stanford, fourth in the country, LSU 1, Alabama 2, Oklahoma State 3. Would you like the opportunity, if you could rearrange things via the BCS, to have a Final Four and have Stanford play LSU, Alabama play Justin Blackmon and Oklahoma State, and then the winners meet? Wouldn't that be unbelievable this year?
It would be unbelievable. Like you said, the BCS this year is really up for grabs. Other than LSU at number one, it's debatable who is 2, 3, and 4, and a playoff system like that would have been exciting. It would have been fun to see Stanford play Alabama or LSU play Oklahoma State and the winners take play for it all. And, unfortunately it doesn't work out that way, and Oklahoma State and Stanford will still get a shot at each other in the Fiesta Bowl.
If you talk to guys like Asher Allen or Jamarcus Sanford or any of the other guys who played in the SEC, SEC. I mean, if you're even to bring up that a team from the Pac-10 could keep up with a team from the SEC, all they do is talk about those speedy kids from Florida, Georgia, all over the place. What are your thoughts on that conference for conference?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. We have arguments all the time, whether, you know, SEC, how it's a powerhouse compared to, you know, the Pac-10 or whatnot. And you know, I try to cite games in the past or overall bowl records against SEC schools. And it's a fun argument. And I think the Pac-10, you know, has some dynamic offenses, has some good defenses, and I really think they would challenge the SEC.
What about quarterbacks? I mean, it certainly can be argued that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL right now. He came from Cal, and he went in the 20s.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, kind of the mentality of the Pac-10. You know, it's always been kind of known for the quarterbacks.
Yep.
And to air it out, and, you know, you got Andrew Luck this year, Matt Barkley at USC. There's some great quarterbacks in the conference and who are going to do big things in the future in the NFL
Toby Gerhart, running back for the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. A couple of quickies to close here. Speaking of quarterbacks and college, Tim Tebow, Florida. You play offense for the Vikings, so therefore, you know, when you were getting ready to play the Broncos, where you had a pretty good game, a lot of people wanted to talk about Denver's defense with you. But do you have any Tim Tebow-related opinions from anything you've seen or followed with how he plays the game?
You know, he's getting it done. You know, that's the thing, and that's all that matters, you know, and a win record type of a standpoint. You know, I don't know how many comeback wins it's been now, five or six.
Yeah.
A couple overtime wins. He's carrying the team in the fourth quarter and getting it done. It's not always pretty, but somehow he's winning.
Would you like to play in an offense like that? Where they run as much as they do, and they run pretty explosively, but the quarterback runs, and they use like three backs.
Yeah, that'd be fun. You know, that would be an interesting dynamic. You know, as a running back, you want to touch the ball as much as possible, and
yeah,
that would be a fun type of offense to play in. But I don't know how sustainable it would be in the long run.
Yeah, good point. Hey, to start prepping for the offseason, is there anything you can tell us about Stanford offensive tackle Jonathan Martin?
Yeah, you know, he's a heck of an athlete. You know, that's the thing that jumps out at me about him. You know, he's big, he's fast, he's just super, super athletic. And, you know, he plays in that Stanford offense where it's a power running offense. He has to stand up and protect Luck's backside. And, you know, I think he's a hard-nosed football player that really grew in the last couple of years and has really become an outstanding one of the top tackles in the country as a collegiate athlete.
Does he seem like a top five, top ten pick to you?
I think he does. You know, he's one of those athletes. I compare him to the USC guy last year. I think it was Tyron Smith.
Yeah.
You know, athletic,
plays for Dallas.
Athletic left tackle, and that's the type of guy he is. And I think he, you know, warrants the praise that he gets.
Jim Harbaugh is obviously having a lot of success with the San Francisco 49ers. What do you remember working with him?
Harbaugh was fun to work with. You know, he was intense, a fiery guy. And, you know, every day you knew you were coming in to work hard and to get better. And his kind of – he always used terms like, you know, relentless, excellence, you know, hard-nosed, blue-collar. And that's the way, you know, we ended up playing at Stanford, and you can see it, you know, now with the 49ers.
Did he ever slap Pete Carroll or anybody hard on the back and have them you know, have them kind of casually follow each other to the tunnel?
Him and Carroll had some good run-ins. You know, I remember the first day Harbaugh got there, he basically called out Carroll in the media saying, "We bow to no program. We're not scared of big, bad USC."
Wow.
And when we went down my senior year at the Coliseum, we went for two when we were up 48-21 or something because Harbaugh wanted to score 50 on USC at home. And after the game, they got in a big kind of what's your deal type of argument in the middle of the field. So, yeah, he likes to ruffle feathers, but you know that's the type of coach he is, and that's the way you know, inspires players to play for him.
In closing, the money's good here. Clearly, it's a business, and hopefully, the money gets a lot better down the road. Do you miss college football, money aside?
Yeah, I do. College football is a ton of fun. You know, every Saturday, I like to sit back and still watch the college games, and just the camaraderie, the traditions of college football is something that you definitely miss as a professional athlete. And yeah, you know, it'd be nice to always go back and play college football again, but I guess those days are done.
It's widely known that your baseball playing skills were quite good in the Pac-10 and at Stanford, and you probably would have had a chance to play Major League Baseball if you had dedicated to that. Any regrets you didn't go that route?
No, you know, I'm happy where I'm at. You know, there's mornings where I wake up and, you know, my shoulders are sore, my knees are sore, and I'm like, God, I could be, you know, spitting seeds, chasing fly balls in the outfield right now. But, you know, for the most part, I'm fortunate and blessed to be playing the game that I love and have this opportunity that, you know, millions of kids dream about. And, no, I wouldn't change anything in the world.
You're awesome, Toby. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Toby Gerhart, I'm Paul Allen, Mike Wabshaw. It's when we return to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Final segment on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Welcome back. I'm Paul Allen. Toby Gerhart, Craig Johnson, and Leslie Frazier, kind enough to join us. And you have the opportunity to join yours truly and Paul Charchian tomorrow morning from 9 to noon. It's the Friday Football Feast at Buffalo Wild Wings in Oakdale. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com or via my show page at KFAN.com. Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com is here to handicap the Vikings and the Saints. Vikings, Saints, your thoughts?
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me. I tell you, I mean, this is another one of those matchups for a Vikings secondary that's banged up, and you got Drew Brees coming into town that it looks pretty intimidating, and I think a lot of people will write the Vikings off, say they don't have a chance. You can understand why that's the case. This is the number two scoring offense, the number one passing offense. They lead in first downs. They lead in first downs passing. But this is a different team when they come and play on the road, and this is not a bad team when they play on the road, but Drew Brees, his touchdown interception ratio is not as good on the road. It's 12-8 when he's on the road, and the Saints average 25 points a game when they come on the road. It's in the mid-30s when they play at home, so that's the avenue of hope if you're the Vikings, if you're rooting for a victory.
Yep.
What's the angle of victory? It's Mall of America Field, Jared Allen, loud noise. Saints struggle a little bit on the road, and just try and keep up with them on offense.
And doing the show from the Sports Authority studios and being at Winter Park, I mean, I'm here a few days a week. You're here 6 days a week. The audience needs to realize, all throughout the Minnesota Vikings radio network, you have to realize that this team desperately wants to win games and desperately does not want to become the team with the worst record in the history of Minnesota Vikings football. So there have been a lot of frustrating losses this year, but the team doesn't necessarily look at the games the way the fans do.
That's right. And, you know, there's two things that I would go off of that. I think you make a great point. You know, two additional things. One is we have a lot of young players on this team, and a lot of young players on this team are going to be there next year, next season. And I really think it's important for them to not get used to losing. And it starts with Christian Ponder.
Yeah.
Starts with Toby Gerhart, whom you spoke with earlier. A lot of young players defensively too, whether it's Christian Ballard and Everson Griffin or some of the backup linebackers or Mistrell Raymond. We don't want them to get used to losing. The second thing is a lot of fans want, you know, they want the team to win, but in a season like this, it's if you lose, well, we get a better draft pick. I don't subscribe to that theory either, because when you have as many holes on this roster, which we can fill through the draft, I don't care if we're picking second, fourth, or sixth. We're going to get a player that we can plug in and play and will be a difference maker. So I think winning is important. You want to have a winning culture here. Leslie Frazier wants to win, and the players are playing hard, and they want to win too.
Big weekend for Christian Ponder. Leslie Frazier back atop the show talked about it. Because the turnovers, obviously, you can look at it one of two ways. You can say stupid mistakes. You can say rookie mistakes. But I think fans should be very interested in what Christian Ponder does this weekend against this defense. And you might not win the game, and it may not be 381-3 like it was against Denver. But eventually, you're going to need to see this kid settle into some form of a groove.
Yes.
Hopefully, it happens this weekend.
I think it will. I don't think Bill Musgrave and company are going to be opposed to opening it up. And, you know, Paul, you've said this on a global perspective and trying to compete with Green Bay in seasons down the road. You've been a proponent of, hey, let's build up this offense. Instead of trying to stop Green Bay from scoring so much, let's build an offense where we can match some of their scoring in seasons down the road. I think in this game, that's the philosophy the Vikings should have. It's not a, hey, let's try and control the clock and grind out a victory and keep New Orleans off the field. I think with wanting Christian Ponder to develop, I think the philosophy should be, hey, let's try and keep up with these guys. Let's try and outscore them in our own building.
A minute to go, you get it all. Vikings.com, previewing the Saints game, or just Vikings.com, you do a lot of content, you do a lot of video work. What do you got?
Well, you and I, we do our keys to the game every week, so we're going to have that up on the website here at the end of the day today. Obviously, you do the Vikings Derby, which has been a huge hit on the website this year, recapping the week's, the prior game. We're going to keep doing that. I update the blog on a daily basis. We have the injury report on there. Every Tuesday, our players go out into the community and do some sort of community event. This week, Adrian Peterson had his Shop with the Viking program, so he went to a Sports Authority and went shopping with some kids.
Awesome.
Kevin Williams was at the Children's Hospital visiting some patients and their families there, so we have video recaps of those events. So we just try and cover the team every angle possible and try and be the fans' eye on the team.
Could be a big week for Adrian, too. I know he's super excited to get back. We had the opportunity to sit down with him kind of privately last Saturday in Detroit, mm-hmm. talk about his level of excitement for returning for the New Orleans game. That game's this weekend. 15 seconds. If I were to say the over-under on Adrian Peterson's yardage this weekend is 110, which way would you go?
I would go over on that.
I would go over,
too. This is a good matchup for him. He has something to prove. He's ready to play.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com. Thank you to everybody throughout the Vikings Radio Network for taking in this radio show, specifically the producers, Ryan Donaldson and Joe Nelson. Here at Winter Park, Jay Nelson, and for all of us with the Minnesota Vikings, I'm Paul Allen. That's Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
This has been Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is presented by Sports Authority and has been brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings.